This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribellino.
Place to Be Nation, we've returned. Welcome to your home for everything sports, Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We got a fun show for you tonight. We've been gone for a couple weeks, kind of extended the bye a little bit because we want to line up with the ending of the NHL season, which was this past Saturday, and the Stanley Cup playoffs begin on Wednesday. And we'll talk about the matchups and everything else later on in the program. We'll also talk about the Masters, which ended today, or as we're recording. Jordan. I knew I was going to do that. Jordan Spieth, 18 under, tied Tiger's record from 1997. But let me bring in my compadre, the doctor, Dr. G. George Ribellino, who I don't think has ever owned a golf club in his life.
Nope.
There's some nice golf courses in Brooklyn.
The Diker Heights.
And then there's some neighborhoods where they don't neighborhoods where they don't use the clubs for golf.
Actually, I attended the Honda Classic used to be down in South Florida.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And I actually went a few years where you got to be quiet at certain points or whatever.
Yes. But, yeah, you do.
It was okay. Golf doesn't do anything for me. Maybe as I get older, maybe it will. I don't know.
Old people usually do hook on to golf. But anyway, we'll talk about that later on in the program. We got some guests later on. My brother Chris requested to join us, probably to talk about his Rangers and his goalie, the Swedish Burger
King. Lord knows I'm not going to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear about the Swedish Burger King. But he's going to come on later on. But we'll talk a little Masters, and we'll talk some NASCAR with him. And then TJ McLoone.
The only thing I'm going to tell him is that when you come up with nicknames like King and all this, win something. Then you come talk to me.
Yeah.
But I tell you all the time.
You know, I think Swedish people are arrogant. That's what I think. They do have awesome hockey jerseys, though.
When wow, you just defended
No, I didn't. No, I love Swedish people. I have nothing against Swedes. Hey, ABBA. Who doesn't love ABBA? But really, I mean, I just
find it. No, it's the obnoxious Ranger fans that come up with these names.
By the way, this is episode 37 of The Extra Point, and for the first time ever, Dr. G, you and I actually share a common number. It might be the only time, actually. Because one of the greatest managers in Major League Baseball history wore number 37, and he managed both of us. That, of course, is the great Casey Stengel.
That's right.
Who managed you guys to, I think 5 world championships. Mm-hmm. And we were managed for 2 years just because nobody else wanted the job. who else could have made pleasure out of 120
losses
in 1962.
He brought a little credibility to the team and help get things started. He obviously his number's retired by you guys, so he's...
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, he was the first manager, and, you know, back then in the early 60s when, you know, we were playing at the Polo Grounds and we were pretty awful, and it was different. It was a lot of fun. There was fun involved in stinking. Now, when the Mets really stunk bad again, which was like the late 70s, early 80s, they were... like unwatchably terrible. We got a lot to talk about around sports. As mentioned later on, TJ McLoone will join us, and we'll preview the Stanley Cup playoffs, which start Wednesday night. And 2 of the last 3 Stanley Cup champions dating back to 2010 in this decade, 2 of the last 3 champions are not in the postseason. And sadly, one of them is my beloved Boston Bruins, who did
sad
not make the playoffs. They had a tough year in a lot of ways. Injuries. I wasn't a big fan of what Claude Julien's coaching style. It was very different than when they won the Cup in 2011. I don't know. Apparently, according to my PIC, Mr. Rosero, he's getting hammered in the Boston radio, so we'll see if he has his job next year. But more shocking, The defending world champions are out. Yes, last year's winners, the Los Angeles Kings, are not in the postseason. But in the postseason is the 2010 and 2013 Stanley Cup champions, the Chicago Blackhawks. So let's take a look at the matchups quick, and then we'll delve more into it later with Mr. McAloon. So as it stands right now, the Eastern Conference matchups are the Montreal Canadiens will be taking on...
Oh, your favorite team.
Yeah, well, they make it every year. Taking on the Ottawa Senators. They split the season. Ottawa actually beat them 3 out of 4, so that might be interesting. I will be rooting for Ottawa in that series. Tampa Bay will take on...
Yeah, get out of here.
Nah. Tampa Bay will be taking on Detroit. Tampa Bay took 3 out of 4. The Rangers will be taking on Pittsburgh, so TJ McAloon and my brother will be facing each other in the first round. That'll be a fun segment, too, coming up later. The Rangers won 3 games, and there was a tie, or there was a shootout that Pittsburgh won. So, and the Islanders will take on...
You better get ready for your brother.
And the Islanders will be taking on the Washington Capitals. And in that series, the Islanders won... two teams won in regular season. Wait, let me do that again. The shootouts and everything confuse everything. On November 26th, the Islanders won 3-2 in overtime. On November 28th, the Caps won 5-2. On December 29th, the Islanders won 4-3 in overtime. And on February 21st, the Caps won 3-2 in a shootout. So there you go. So two overtime wins for the Islanders. A regulation win for the Caps, and then a win for the Caps in a shootout. So there you go. In the Western Conference, it'll be Anaheim against Winnipeg. Nice to see the Jets back in the playoffs. Vancouver will play Calgary in an all-West Canada matchup. St. Louis will take on Minnesota. And Nashville, who's my pick, will take on the defending, well, not defending world champions, but the Chicago Blackhawks, who are the only team that has won a cup this decade that is in the playoffs. But the Bruins are out. The Kings are out. So there you go. We'll delve more into the Stanley Cup playoffs with TJ McAloon and my brother coming up in the... I just love saying his name.
You just love saying his name.
I do love saying his name. TJ McAloon coming up in our next segment. It is, of course, week one of this 2015 Major League Baseball season, Dr. G.
Yes, it is. It's been interesting so far.
It's been an interesting first week. Your Yankees are on ESPN at the moment, and they've roared out to a 7-0 lead in the first inning on the Red Sox.
Still early.
But you already think the season's over, so we're not even going to talk baseball on the Extra Point anymore. So that's it. We're done.
Why don't you shut up?
We're talking about... I don't want to hear your doom and gloom.
Oh, you deem
and Yankee
gloom.
Fans you are the Lou Holtz.
And some people can't deal with it. I'm a realist. That's the way it is.
If we don't win...
Just sitting here and you're looking at Yankee Stadium in these games and then it's not even totally sold out, what is that telling you?
How fans are... Everybody's unemployed?
And feeling that way.
I don't know. Everybody's broke? I don't know.
Well, that too, I guess. But you know, the thing is that, you know, like for you guys, for the Mets fans, you guys have a lot of high expectations. You know, the whole big deal about they're ready to take over New York and everything. So, honestly, there is probably press-wise and in city more pressure on you guys than us. Even though for the Yankees, it's always
yeah.
You know,
but I know I'm a Mets fan who never, and this is why I'm very different than other Mets fans. I don't really give a shit what newspapers say. I don't care about the Daily News; it's a rag. I don't care about the Post; it's a rag. I don't need headlines. I want rings. So yeah, but expectations.
My point is that there's expectations, and not even just from the newspapers, but from the fans, that you guys, because of your pitching, you know, a little bit of you know, improvement in the lineup, that you guys are expected to go somewhere. And I actually picked them for the playoffs this year. So I think that. That's where it's coming from. And I think, you know, like you're saying, you're starting to hear like people maybe panicking. You guys, you went 3-3 on a road trip. Your first
yeah, I know.
I think that's decent.
I'll take that. And now we got a six-game homestand home opener is on Monday afternoon against the Phillies. You know, the Phillies stink. And
I mean,
and
honestly, then, that's a series you should probably sweep. Or
yeah,
at least
and then next weekend, we play the Marlins, and you know they're okay.
Marlins always play you tough no matter what.
Yeah, but it's a homestand, and we go out there, and it's April. It's April. It's
yeah,
frigging
you,
April.
You gotta understand, Scott. Listen, you gotta understand, and I'm not saying that.
I'm tired of understanding this New York media.
Listen. I understand that you shouldn't get crazy in April. I totally understand that. But with the expectations of your team, I think Mets fans want to have that good feeling, and they don't want to have this.
Go take drugs then.
But do you want to have a losing April? No, you guys want to come out and you want to prove something, especially with the Nationals hurt right now. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying that you guys 3-3 is good for the first road trip.
Three
I think that you should be happy with that.
So the Braves are playing pretty well to start the year. I don't really care. They're going to suck by June. Sorry, Chad, but they're.
But here's a chance. What I'm saying is, I think the Mets fans are like, you know, here's our chance. Let's jump out. Let's get off to a good start, so we don't have the Terry Collins rumors and you know Terry Collins and Sandy Alderson don't get along.
They're gonna find a way to. They're gonna find.
Yes. So I think that you want to have that. You know, every team in the beginning of the year, you want to have that good feeling going into it. You know, speaking from as a Yankee fan right now. No, I mean you see a lot of the question marks so far. I mean, granted, it's only you know 6 games into it. You see some of the faults and the things that the Yankees are going to struggle with this year. But yeah, do you got to give it a little more time? Yes, you do. Do I like what I see so far? Not really. I mean, you know, the defense hasn't been that great, and that was the one thing I thought that was going to look good so far this year. I mean, that game the other night, 19 innings or whatever it was, I mean, you just felt like, oh, my gosh, somebody's going to go, you know, you felt Didi was going to have that chance. He had that chance, you know, let's show, you know, what he could do. Listen, for those fans out there that are trying to compare Didi to Derek Jeter, you're idiots. I mean, really?
Who has? You've seen this? Wow, that is pretty
good. You know how stuff, you know, fans are going to get on him all. Well, Jeter wouldn't. You can't compare him. Jeter's a once in a generation player for your team, you know, once in a lifetime player. You can't compare Derek Jeter to Didi Gregorius. He has to go and beat Didi Gregorius and go out there and try to play his
game.
This
is why I wish sometimes I've lived in another market. This is why I wish I lived in Cleveland or something. Well, they're miserable too, so.
You know, but, we were saying, and I know, you know, I don't want to make this dominated by New York tonight, so we'll just go with this and then we'll move on. But we were talking the other day about David Wright, and you were saying to me that David Wright's like the Derek Jeter without rings. And for the most part, you know what? I can't argue with David Wright. Has been a good citizen. He's a good guy. He's, you know, he's a good player. He kind of leads like Jeter. He leads by example, and he will step up and say something when he needs to, just like Jeter did. Maybe he's never had that supporting guys like a Jorge Posada or
obviously not,
or you know, like guys or Tino Martinez or guys behind the scenes that'll help, you know, be his capos a little bit. And he's had some rough, you know, the Carlos Delgados and guys like that. You know, we're really, you know, total team players.
Well, the difference between that is Jeter had a
team, but he's a good guy. You know, like I was saying to you, you were saying yesterday, what if David Wright was actually the third baseman on the Yankees in the last 10 years, just say, you know, would he be the guy like to be taking over as possible captain for Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
You know, would he be that guy that would, you know, that you could hand that mantle over to and say, hey, this is, you know, this is you. You're the it guy. I think so. And that mm-hmm. So that's a compliment to David Wright in the fact that you could feel comfortable. Like if he was our third baseman, hey, you know, he's the guy that could take over and be the leader of that clubhouse.
Mm. It just makes me so upset that I can't just enjoy the start of a baseball season without panicking and lousy newspaper writers. And
but the thing is, that's the part of being a New York fan. That's just the way it is. And that's why and the same thing goes for Boston. You root for the Boston Bruins. People already want to kick the coach out, get the hell out of here.
Well, they had a crappy season and he didn't do a lot. So the team's going to get gutted anyway. Okay. I don't know if he's going to lose his job, but the Bruins are going to get gutted. I think there's no doubt about that.
In any other market, maybe, except for maybe like Montreal or something, you're like, all right, well, it's an off year. We'll see what's going on. Like, but in the markets like Boston, New York, even L.A. to a certain extent, Chicago, you know, there's a different kind of mentality. And that's just the way it is. And for better or for worse, that's what you got to put up with. Listen, I know because we talk about it all the time. You know, like your PIC, Justin and I, we always going back and forth. And he's the calm, cool, you know, let's see what happens kind of guy. And I'm like ready to jump off the handle. That's my personality and just regular life. So that's the way I am. But in the end, who's sitting up there watching a freaking 19 inning game at 2 a.m. and I'll say, oh, this team sucks, blah, 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 blah. But I'll be there doing it because I'm a true fan and that's what I do. Mm. But am I going to be critical at times? Yes, because we expect nothing but the best.
I mean, I'll admit it. I punched my coat closet door on Friday night when Lucas Duda struck out looking on that stiff Jason Grilley in a game that the Mets could have won. I mean, they were down 3-0, came back, tied it at 3, and then Montero was forced to throw a pitch down the middle and gave up a 2-run single. And the Mets lost 5-3 yesterday or Saturday. They were down 5-0, came back, made it 5-3, had guys on late, couldn't convert. And then today they actually came back and won. They were down 2. They were down 3-2, came back 1-5-3.
Because that's the passion. You yourself, you know, you want deep down, even though you're saying here you're trying to be the guy to see things through the rose-colored glasses. You know. Deep down, you want this team to get off to a good start because you don't want to hear the Wally Backman bullshit and all this stuff going on in May. You want this team because what happens is that does get, no matter what players say, it gets in their heads, and then you start that whole cycle.
You know what's funny? I'm probably the only – I don't listen to The Fan anymore anyway because your stupid team's on it now, so I barely listen to The Fan anyway. But I've never – I'm probably the one big sports fan that lives in the tri-state area who does not put on FAN. I can't stand listening to New York to a lot of their hosts. I mean, JR and I on the Place Be podcast, we've ridiculed Chicken Francesca many, many times. I'm not a big fan of Evan and Beningo. I think Joe Beningo is an asshole, to be honest with you. I don't think he's a very smart sports fan either. He had the gall. I said this to you. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I said this to somebody during the week. Last weekend at the Final Four in Indianapolis. And by the way, of course, we'll talk about a little bit about that. Duke winning its fifth national championship. They beat Wisconsin 68-63 on Monday night. Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the unbelievably awesome University of Connecticut women's team, who won their 10th national championship on Tuesday night. They beat Notre Dame by 10 in Tampa, down in Tampa. He said that the men's game is not as good as it used to be. And it's a subjective opinion from somebody who has a lot of credibility. The guy's in the Hall of Fame. He's in Springfield. You and I walked by him, his plaque, when we were there, about a month ago? A little over a month ago?
Yeah.
You know what Joe Beningo said, that stupid asshole? You know what he said? He's just jealous because he's not coaching a men's team. That's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard anybody say in my entire life. And Gene Cady, who's like 300 years old, by the way, former coach for Purdue, who was an assistant with Steve Lavin at St. John's. I don't know if he stayed because obviously Chris Mullin is the new head coach at St. John's, which is a great move. He's like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I like Gino too, but you're probably right. You're probably right. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The guy has 10 national championships. Now, is women's basketball as competitive as men? Sadly, no, but that's not anybody's fault. It was never Pat Summitt's fault or Leon Barmore or Andy Landers at Georgia, or Gino for that matter. It's just the way it is. I mean, there's some really good women's teams. I mean, Dawn Staley had a great season with South Carolina until she played UConn and got blown out. But listen, that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
With Joe, I, you know, that's fine. And the thing is that he was a guy that used to be a caller that became a talk show host.
He won a contest.
And the thing is, you know what? I mean, he's doing the midday show on WFAN. How many of us would love to be doing the midday show on WFAN? Listen, no matter any of you guys that are listening out there in other parts of the world or parts of the country, whatever, WFAN is the sports talk station of the country. It will be number one, and it will probably always remain number one.
You and
that
I can do better.
That is where
job.
Everybody, and that is the summit of where everybody wants to go.
You
to
and I are better than them. Sports Lounge. Sports Lounge is better than them. See, Cowboy Senior could sit there in his Brady Feeney pajamas and do a better job. The guy's a clown.
Two hacks like us are getting on here, and we're passionate about our teams.
But we're not idiots. Well, not all the time anyway. That was just ignorant.
Idiots. Some people are like, oh, that freaking Yankee fan. That's like, listen, that's fine. That's what.
Yeah, no, people listen to the Sports Lounge and go, no one cares about Tom Brady's hairstyle.
But that's what's great about sports talk is because sports fans are passionate. They're passionate about their teams. They're passionate about what they're watching. And so, yeah, sometimes we get irrational. How many times have you and I both gotten irrational?
I've gotten very irrational. But sometimes I wish I was. Well, maybe it's because, you know what it is, Dr. G? Maybe it's because I'm a fan of teams all over the – and everyone says I'm a border. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna lay this on the line right now.
Lay it out, baby.
Everyone says my entire life is nothing but bandwagon jumpers, okay? Because of all my sports teams, I'm a fan of every. Like, you know how ESPN has those city specific sites. I'm a fan of a team on every single one of those sites. I'm a fan of the ESPN New York page. I'm a fan of a team on the ESPN Chicago page because technically they consider Notre Dame part of that Midwest area. I'm a fan of the Boston page, obviously the Bruins. I'm a fan of the LA page, the Lakers. Yes, I became a Laker fan because I love Magic, and they were really good. All right, fine, I'll give you that one. I became a Cowboy fan because at 7 years old, I thought the helmet was cool looking. But I didn't win. I mean, the '80s was mediocre for the Cowboys. They really weren't good again until 1991.
The colors were pretty.
Yeah, I thought the helmet was awesome.
It's
my. Be honest with me. Don't pull any crap with me. The Giants sucked in the early '80s, and the Jets sucked too. I applaud you, and I applaud my PIC for actually rooting for a team that, in your formative, well. Justin's a little younger than us, so he, you know, probably when by the early 90s, he was rooting for the Jets. Although we do have documented proof that he did wear a Giants shirt once. I'll have to show it to you one time, Dr. G. He did wear a Giants shirt once.
He's got a little of that in there.
That's because he hangs out with the great Andy
Flanagan. Well, you know.
He hangs out with the Flanaman, and the Flanaman is a Giant fan.
Justin and I, we love each other. You know, we always got to goof on each other, and I know with the whole Giants-Jets thing, whatever. It's good. I like that. It's like us with the Yankees and the Mets. I love it. But it's funny that you say that because I remember my one of my aunts when I was younger, you know, they don't know. My family, the women in the family never knew anything about sports, whatever, you know. They bought, you know, and you remember that time you used to wear the shorts and then you had like the matching shirt with it and then you had the tube socks that had the, you know, whatever, the different colors.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'll never forget. I get
this. I worked for Sears. I had 80 pairs of those.
So I get this present in the mail, right? For I don't know if it was my birthday or Christmas. I don't remember. And I open it up and it's a whole Jets thing. Shorts. And my mother goes, you gotta wear it. You gotta be nice and wear it when you're in New York. So I had to wear that freaking thing one time, you know. But you know, so it happens.
Yeah. But I became a Bruins fan. First of all, I'll tell you why.
There's a Yankee picture of you somewhere.
Well, it's because I went to what I wore. I have a Yankee hat. I admit it. Who gives a shit? I own every major league. I collect major league hats.
I own everybody's hats. You think you had it, Mariano? Day.
I don't really care. I don't care. There you go. It's done. Conversation over. I don't care. I wore it to the Flanaman's birthday. I had a Yankee hat. It was an old school 1910.
Maybe I'll have to bring the Cowboy in here and just freaking heel out on you. Why don't we? That maybe what we need to.
We already did that once.
Well, you know what? This is what it's all about. You know, it's passion. Sports fans are passionate. We're passionate about our teams. Sometimes we say stupid, irrational things because that's just the way we are. We get pissed off. But you know what? It's all in fun. But there's also times where you have to be a little bit more objective and you have to, you know, when you're given a certain opinion, you know, you should back it up.
Right.
As much as you can. But there are times we all get irrational. And you can't tell me. And I'd love to hear from our listeners out there.
Well, Obviously, send us an email, extrapoint@placetobenation.com, and comment on Twitter at P2B extra point.
Yeah, I want to hear, like, do you as a sports fan, sometimes you just do you agree with me that you get passionate, you say sometimes stupid things, but in reality you kind of know, you know you're being irrational and sometimes being stupid, you know, but that's just, you know, in the heat of the moment, that's what you do, you know, and that's how we all are, you know. Like, listen, I'm watching this Yankees team this week and I'm just like, oh my god, it's like I'd rather watch paint dry sometimes. But am I going to sit there and watch the games? Of course I am. Am I going to rip them apart at times and maybe be a little irrational about it? Yeah, I am.
That's just... But a lot of my fandom is because of – and we had this conversation last week with both my brothers. And, of course, my brother had quite a bit of beer in him like he usually does. But when we're at family outings. But he but I said, I can't stand your teams because of you two. It's the truth. Our mother was sitting, you know, my father, God rest his soul, looking down, going, yeah, it was you two. You both suck. Pretty much. So
Well, I get it. Listen, I get it sometimes that certain fans will drive you crazy.
But I'm a different kind of...
We know people that are Mets fans, and every time you turn around, they've got some sarcastic comment about the Yankees and whatever. And it's like, whatever. Then I realize, you know what? That's why I can't freaking stand you. I will definitely not root for your team.
And honestly, I've never asked you to. I think the one time I asked you to actually root for my team and you still didn't was for the Bruins in 2011, and you still have this ridiculous, irrational hatred of the city just because the Red Sox are in it, which you really need psychiatric help because Boston's a wonderful city. But
I was in Boston in January actually for that first snowstorm.
Yeah, you dropped a deuce right in the front of the cask and flagging. We know the whole story.
Shut up. It's a city's a beautiful city. It is.
And you dropped a deuce on the cask and flagging. I know. With Jeter's biography sticking out in the top of it.
Exactly.
No.
The city's a beautiful city. I just don't like their sports teams. That's it. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I love the city. I love the city of Philadelphia. I think the city's wonderful. There's a lot of landmarks there I've been to. I went to a lot of landmarks during Royal Rumble weekend. I can't stand any of their teams. I hate the Phillies. I hate the Flyers. I hate the Eagles. I don't really hate the Sixers, but I wouldn't love them. I love the city of Philadelphia. I absolutely love the city. You know, so, ECW Arena. And so I understand, but I would, you know,
it's funny that people say to me, you know, even at work, you know, cause I got like a couple of Ranger friends. How do you come from New York and not root for the Ranger? I said, well, unfortunately I didn't grow up. I was born in Florida, lived there till I was five. I grew up down in Florida.
No, say that again. You were born in Brooklyn.
I was born in Brooklyn, and I grew up in Florida. I grew up in Brooklyn until I was five. I grew up in Florida. And hockey, you know, my father wasn't really a big hockey fan. I guess if he was going to root for a team, he'd root for the Rangers. But my father's friend, who I used to work for when I was in high school, was a big hockey fan, and he was a Devils fan. You know, he was from New Jersey. So there was a bar that used to be in Florida that was owned by somebody from New Jersey, and they used to have the Devil games on. And he was the one that really taught me about hockey. I didn't really learn a lot about the ins and the outs of hockey until I was in my teens.
Right.
So because I didn't really watch it when I was growing up. It wasn't really my thing. It was baseball, football, and basketball.
Right.
So
I guess the whole
– So I became a Devils fan because of that.
Right.
You know, not because of where – You know, I've always said it, and I've said it on the show before, probably my basketball team is the one thing that I've really changed, that I've always kind of rooted more for players, I guess, which I think is what the NBA is basically all about at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, LeBron James goes away, you're not going to see people wearing Cavaliers shirts. Sorry. It's not going to happen.
Well, look at
Bulls,
Michael.
When the Bulls, you know, the Bulls were still are decent still. But once Michael Jordan went away,
yeah,
how often do you see a Bulls jersey around?
I mean, they're decent now, but they went through some.
But do you see people in New York or Connecticut wearing a Bulls jersey? No.
No. They
so
were Michael jerseys.
It comes about the players. So when I was a kid, I loved Dr. J. Even my dad, I remember 1983, us watching, my dad and I watching every game. And I just loved it, and he was always my favorite player. Now, did I like Magic too? Yes. Did I probably root from the Lakers from time to time? I did. You know, when the Sixers weren't as good.
Right.
I did. I mean, I was always a big Charles Barkley fan. That's where me and
I thought you were going to say Charles Bronson, but I know you like him too. So.
Yeah, that too.
I feel like you're about to say Charles Bronson.
But Justin and I love Charles Barkley.
Yes, yes, he does like
the
round mound of rebound. Yes, he does. Yeah. Anyway, the whole premise of this is as a Met fan, I'm not freaking out. If other Met fans want to freak out, be my guest. I don't really care. I'll take a 3-3 road trip to start the year, and they've looked good at times. They didn't get blown out in any of these games. You know, they're three losses.
I think their lineup is gonna. So some days you're gonna. You know, I think it's gonna be an average lineup.
I think the problem is right now is the thing that was crossing fingers and toes was Wilmer Flores, and he has looked fairly hideous in the field through these first six games, and I think that's what's bugging people. And I'm like, you know what? All right, whatever. That's fine. The fact that there were a lot of unearned runs on Friday led to a loss to the Braves, and it sucks. And I hate the Braves. I hate losing to the Braves. I'm happy with what's happened so far, and I'm looking forward to opening day tomorrow. And DeGrom pitched great in a loss to Washington. He only gave up two runs, gave up a two-run homer in the first inning last Wednesday to Ryan Zimmerman, and looked great the rest of the way. And then the Dark Knight came in on Thursday and shut the Nats down, and he's pitching Tuesday. So,
I think right now, I mean,
so I'm fine.
Matt Harvey's the real deal. I mean, if he could stay healthy, he's the real deal. Now, I don't know. For me as a Yankee fan, I thought that Tanaka should have had the surgery last week. He's pitching pretty decently tonight so far. You know, it's only the top of the fourth inning, so, you know, it's hard to really say. But I think, you know, he's obviously got a baby.
You're off to, you know, as of right now, you're off to a 1-4 start, and, you know, who really cares? Look at the whole division, though. I mean, yeah, the Red Sox are 4-1, whoop-de-doo. They play the Phillies, who stink. The Blue Jays, you know, everybody's even in the East. Now, look at the Central. I mean, two teams have started the year 6-0. The Tigers are 6-0, and the defending American League champion Royals, our good buddy Chris.
Yeah, the Royals are hot, and, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of the times we kind of we were saying that the Royals, you know, I mean, obviously it's still early yet, but they've come out, you know, playing pretty decently.
Yeah, so they're off to a 6-0 start. And of course, Mr. Barnhart's Tigers 6-0 as well. The West is very mediocre right now. In fact, the team right now through the first week, the Mariners and Astros are both 3-3, but everybody else is very close. Now in the National League, as mentioned, the Braves are hot. They're 5-1, and the Mets are 3-3, along with the Phillies, and then the Nats and the Marlins. So yeah, it's not like the Mets are 0-6. So I'm not crapping a cow right now. A team that I always like, Cincinnati's off to a quick
start. I take 3-3 right now.
Yeah. So Cincinnati's leading the Central, and Colorado actually off to a fairly hot start in the West. They're 4-2. Not hot, but I mean, they're off to a good start. But again, it's very early. And the defending world champion Giants are in last at 3-4. But again, we're only a week old. We'll have our man Joel Barnhart on in about 3 weeks, you know, beginning of May. With a month into the season, we'll chomp on things. I do want to talk about a story coming out of the Angels about this Josh Hamilton situation. Now, turns out that he was apparently pinched for possible, you know, falling off the wagon, but it turns out he didn't. So he was cleared of all charges cleared of everything by Major League Baseball, but. C.J. Wilson, who's the other guy that was signed for big money a few years ago, says he believes the team would show more support for Hamilton if he was playing better. Interesting. Quote, if Josh was hitting 300 with 35 home runs a year, what's the situation? Obviously, that's the player that they want. That's the player they paid for. The 34-year-old Hamilton signed a five-year, $125 million deal with L.A. after the 2012 season. That previous year, he hit 43 homers for Texas. He hit 31 in 2 years combined. He's hit .255 with the Angels after having a .304 career average before joining the Angels. Hamilton's not played this year. He's on the DL following a shoulder surgery back in February. He won't be expected to play until May. But so C.J. Wilson says that if he was hitting, you know, 300 with 40 home runs, the Angels would be, you know, supporting their guy, and instead they kind of hung him out to dry. What do you think of that? Is CJ Wilson?
I mean, there could be some truth to
it. Did he overstep his turn as a teammate? I mean, should he be more of a teammate or an employee of the Angels? Should he just kept his mouth shut?
You know, if this was New York, forget about it. I mean, it's L.A., but, the thing is that he's trying to come out and support a teammate, but...
You're right over there. You doing shots or something?
No.
I want to make sure that I didn't hear you for a minute. Maybe you were pouring.
Allergies are bothering me, so I'm trying not to...
I'm used to that. That's the second host I have with allergy issues. My PIC always is... We're getting to the time of the year now where we're going to hear a lot of sneezing and I'm going to hear tissues exactly. In the background, but that's all right.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just wonder, does that become a distraction for the season? So maybe, maybe you should just keep your mouth shut. How do you feel?
I played on plenty of teams with problem players. Not problem players. Well, I've played with players with problem attitudes, but I've also played with guys that have had their own issues, and you want to support them. If there was evidence that the Angels were kind of being lazy with Josh Hamilton and not in his corner, maybe, but everything will be fine.
He has fallen off the wagon a few times, so
yeah,
but you sign this guy to this contract, you going in, you know what you're dealing with here.
So he'll be back in May.
I wondered if he really should have left Texas.
I think the other reason the Mets are – can I get back to the Mets for a minute? I just thought of something. The other reason I think fans are freaking out is you heard about our closer, Henry Mejia, who has been suspended now for 80 games because of Stanozolol? I'm going to keep saying it until I keep continuously screw it up.
Honestly, I ain't even going to try.
But he got pinched for 80 games. All right, so we got pinched for 80 games. Whatever. Bobby Parnell's back. Let's move on. I'm tired of dwelling. All right, he's gone for 80 games. Whoopty friggin'.
Yeah, it just amazes me, these guys.
Why do pitchers have to cheat? I don't get it. I mean, particularly now, this is any player, but just pitchers annoy me that you have to take something. I don't understand that. But, now with everything out in the open, the Mitchell report, everything that's going on the last, 4 or 5 years, you're still going to try and shirk the system?
That's what kills me.
I mean, how ignorant can you be? I mean, that's just.
And that's why, we were talking before we went on the air. That's the thing about me with A-Rod. I think fans were willing to kind of like, all right, 2009. Then they went up winning the World Series. So, A-Rod's A-Rod. A lot of people are either going to love or hate him. For the most part these days, hate him. But then you go and you do it again.
Right. I get that. I think.
It's like, come on. I mean, you're going to get tested. More frequently. I don't get it. That's you just think you're above everyone else, and right. Obviously you're not.
I get that.
It truly has humbled him.
I think my point to you is you got to stop thinking he's on your team, so what we can do, just give up on the season because he's on there?
But nobody says give up on the season.
But, you're like, you don't want him to succeed? If you're stuck with him, hell, he might as well be good.
Listen,
my point. I just don't think you should belabor the point.
He's going to be the best player this year on the Yankees. If he's the best player on the Yankees are in a lot of trouble. Let's put it that way.
Well.
But can he have a decent year? If he stays healthy, yeah, he can have a decent year. Can he help the team? Of course he can. But the other players have to step up as well.
You
can't have him relying on him to be your best player in his age now. And with the injuries he's had, and as well as what the steroids or all his PEDs have done to his body, you can't.
Right.
Health is a key thing in Major League Baseball these days, because it's like every time you turn around, a big player is getting hurt, and.
Right. But speaking of health, big scare for Mariner fans today. King Felix left today's game in Oakland after 5 innings with a tight right quad. They ended up he got a no decision. They came from behind. They were trailing, but they came from behind and they beat Oakland 8-7 in 10 innings. But a little issue there. I think another guy left with an injury today too. Yan Gomes, the catcher for the Indians, out 6 to 8 weeks with a sprained MCL. So, anyway, obviously not a lot to talk about this early in the baseball season. I mean, we're only a week in, but we'll have we'll keep talking about it here on Extra Point. We'll have our guy Joel Barnhart back on in like a month.
You know, and here I have the Yankees game on mute here on ESPN, and now you're starting to see it's the fourth inning now. Red Sox scored a run, 7-1. Tanaka just walked somebody now, so it's first and second, one out. This is what you see, and this is not the same guy you saw last year. This is a guy always ahead of hitters.
Maybe he's just got to get used to his shoulder. Maybe he's never had that kind of injury before. I just give him some time. Man, I am a glass half full, aren't I?
You are. You just
maybe I'm like Matt. Maybe I'm living in Matt Rotella's pink sky universe.
He could have had the surgery last year, and maybe he would have been back at the end of this year. If not, then he's back for 2016.
See, I don't know. I still disagree with you on that.
He goes out for the surgery now in the middle of this year. That means you lose him for the rest of this year, and you definitely probably most likely will lose him for
I disagree with you. I still disagree with you on that. I mean, the tear was less than 10%, and five doctors told him not to have the surgery. So I kind of agree with what happened, and you know, whatever. It doesn't matter either way. But
he's obviously changing his style of pitching to accommodate for what's
who's
going
the Yankee pitching coach?
Rothschild.
Is it still Rothschild?
Yeah.
I think we need younger coaches. I would kill right now. Look, I have nothing against Dan Warthen, but I've told Met fans I would love to see Ron Darling as our pitching coach. I like to see Keith Hernandez as our hitting coach. But, of course, you know, in Met world, the 86 team never existed because they're a bunch of drunken cokeheads. By the way, they won 108 games in a world championship, and we have really nothing else to show for it since. So I think the problem with Met fans right now, this is what I'm going to say right now. As we've been talking about it here in this first segment, it keeps popping in my head. Met fans are just programmed to feel doom. And a lot of it is the front office. Here's the issue. If Derek Jeter had to deal with the Wilpons, be a very different career. Look, David Wright has had to deal with a haphazard, incompetent front office and one loser, buffoon general manager after another. And he has survived and not had any issues, you know, and has been a great player in bad teams with bad ownership. Say what you want about George Steinbrenner. The guy was a pain in the ass, but
yeah,
got rings.
But you know what, George made his mistake back in the 80s. And the thing is about the Wilpons, I mean, they did spend the money at one point.
Now they don't have it. And they still don't have it. And if anybody says they do have it, it's a bunch of crap. They still don't have any money. But anyway, let's switch gears quickly to the Hardwood because their season is wrapping up pretty close, actually. Only a couple games left in the season. I'm not sure when their playoffs start, but let's take a look. In the Eastern Conference right now, Atlanta comfortably ahead. They're going to be the number one seed. Cleveland is at two, followed by Toronto, then Chicago, Washington, and Milwaukee. They've all clinched playoff berths from 1 to 6. The Celtics are sitting at 7, and right now Brooklyn is at 8, even though they have the same record as the Pacers, but they must have a better conference record. Let's see. No, the Pacers have a better conference record. I don't get it. Anyway, the net maybe head-to-head. But the Nets would be the 8 seed right now. And then
they lost one to it's amazing what, you know, kids doing with that Bucks team.
Yep, he's got them. They're comfortable right now. They're in 6th. They would play Toronto in the first round. In the West, Golden State comfortably ahead of Memphis. Memphis and the Clippers are tied right now, so they're battling for 2nd. Portland is 4th, then San Antonio, Houston, Dallas and the Pelicans are a half game ahead of Oklahoma City. And without Kevin Durant, the Thunder might as well not even make the playoffs. So, and the team with the worst record in the West is not the Lakers. The Lakers' record is not good. They're 21-58, but Minnesota is 16-64. The Lakers actually will probably end up having it looks like they'll have the fourth most ping pong balls in the lottery. So there's only 2 games left in, looks like a lot of teams, 2 games left in the season. So our man Grant Hughes from Bleacher Report will be on our next show, and we'll preview the NBA playoffs. Or by the time he comes on, the playoffs may have already started. But so our next episode of The Extra Point, we'll have Grant Hughes from Bleacher Report on, and we'll preview the NBA playoffs. Will it be Hawks and Warriors? By the way, there was an incident. This kind of made me laugh. Well, it's not funny, but there was an incident earlier in the week Dr. G, at a bar in Chelsea, New York, not England. The Hawks and the Pacers were at this bar, and they were both in the city playing two different teams. The Hawks were in Brooklyn to play the Nets, and the Pacers were at the Garden to play the Knicks. And there was some kind of something, and a Pacers player got stabbed, and two Hawks players got arrested. And I was talking to somebody at my job earlier in the week. Do you think it's – because we didn't hear a lot about this stuff back in the day, you know, in the 80s, even to the early 90s. There wasn't a lot of – maybe because we didn't have social media, we didn't have instant news. You saw it in the paper the next day, oh, this guy was at a bar, or this guy got in a fight, or this guy got in a car accident or whatever. And it's amazing what the in this era of 24-hour news cycles and Twitter and Instagram and, you know, Facebook, how things have gotten so immediate, you know? And we didn't hear a lot in the 80s about guys. And I also think athletes were different. I feel like a lot of the better – a lot of the greater athletes in the day took care of their image better. Like, you didn't hear things about – I mean, Magic never went out. All of Magic's indiscretions happen either in the massage room at the Forum or at his house. Apparently he had crazy parties, you know, Caligula-esque, you know, nudity boinking all over his palace. But he never went out. Same thing with Larry Bird. Dr. J, you never saw things about these guys because I feel they took care of their image better.
And we also, you know, live in a 24-hour cycle too these days.
Right. But I also feel like athletes cared about their image more. Like, the only time – I mean, look at what happened – I'll use the 86 Mets again as an example. You remember the big fight down in Houston that year. Do you remember that? They were playing the Astros in, I think it was August, at the Astrodome. And, of course, they got swept because they couldn't win there. They fortunately won when they had to, but they rarely – that was a tough place to play. And it was somebody's birthday. It was either Ron Darling's or Tim Tuffle's birthday, and they all got hammered. There was a fight and all this other jazz. And that, I remember that came out like a couple days later in the paper. It would have been very different. Now, we would have found out about it immediately. There would have been Instagram pictures of, you know, guys getting punched. And it's amazing how – I mean, this is bad or good. I'm just making an observation. You know, I feel like athletes were different back then. They took care of their images better. I mean, look, Derek Jeter's no saint, but Derek Jeter knew how to take care of his image, you know, and knew how to protect it. A lot of players like that. Tiger did for a long time, and then his then his wife caught him with his hand in many cookie jars. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that there was a situation earlier in the week in the city when both it's amazing. It was a brawl or some kind of incident at a bar in New York involving NBA players, and neither of them played for the Knicks and the Nets. So that was pretty interesting. Or any of the other NBA or New York sports teams. So we will have Grant Hughes on our next show to talk about the NBA playoffs, because those will probably kick in earnest. I still like Warriors Hawks. I still think that's my Stanley Cup, my NBA my NBA Finals. My Stanley Cup Finals is Rangers Predators.
Really, you're gonna put the Rangers there? Huh?
Yeah, they're the best team in the East. What? I'm being objective here. I don't really care what my brother or anybody other Ranger fans think. They're the best team in the East. They're the hottest team in the East right now. Although I would be careful with Washington or with Pittsburgh. So we'll have more on that with, can I say his name again? TJ McLoone.
You love saying
we'll
that.
Be on in our next segment to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not much in the NBA on the NFL front. I mean, we've had some teams change, you know, players change teams. The draft will be coming up beginning of May. Tampa Bay has the number one pick. Many people think they will take Jameis Winston. The Giants, what do you have, the ninth pick? I think the Giants are the ninth pick. That's not a bad pick. What would you go for? We'll delve more into this, you know, as we get closer. We'll do a little draft preview action in either next show or the show after.
We'll, it's going to be an interesting draft, I think.
I think the Giants need some
they still
offensive line help.
They do need the offensive line help. That's big for them.
Yeah. The Cowboys, I think, have like the 23rd pick or something. I don't know. But they may not have any picks, because then they make a trade. I don't know. I have to look. But obviously the big story in Dallas is they still could get Adrian Peterson. You know, they already got Darren McFadden, obviously trying to replace DeMarco Murray, and I think the Eagles overpaid for him. I like DeMarco Murray, but he did take a lot of carries last year and got smacked around. That's why they signed Ryan Matthews from San Diego. So anyway, more NBA, NFL stuff further down the month as the draft. For the first time, the draft is not in April. It's in May, and it's not even in the city. Did you know that, Dr. G? I just realized that last week. The draft this year is in Chicago. I didn't know that.
I didn't realize that either. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until earlier in the week. Again, congratulations to Jordan Spieth, who at 21 years old wins the Masters today at 18 under. We'll let my brother bloviate on that later. he likes golf. I mean, I like golf too. I just can't stand the Masters more because of my bosses more than anything else. But anyway, why don't we take a break here on The Extra Point. When we return, we'll be joined by TJ McAloon, and we will preview the Stanley Cup playoffs. And my brother may pop in later on. He can talk about the Swedish Burger King. And I'm, by the way, I'm not knocking Swedes. I love ABBA. I just can't stand the fact that Ranger fans coronated this guy as a king when he has nothing on his rings on his fingers. By the way, Dr. G, when you saw my brother last week, whose jersey did you have on? I'm trying to remember. Oh, that's right. A goalie that actually has rings.
That's right. Martin
Brodeur, the greatest goalie of this generation. And maybe...
And your brother has said that, so I'll give him that.
Yes, but no, he to does.
Me,
but
to me, when you give somebody a certain name, they need to...
They need to have something already.
I mean, he's a good goalie. I don't know if...
Oh, he's won Vezinas. He's a tremendous goaltender, but you got to prove something. I mean, they did make a run to the Cup Finals a year ago. Losing to the eventual champion.
Listen,
Kings.
It's a tough position, and you got to get hot at the right times.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, there are times where Martin Brodeur was not hot at the right times. You know, obviously he's won three.
Yeah, he was always hot. When he got to April into May, he always got hot. He always knew. Well, look at and I know we're going to take a break, but I'm going to quickly say this one point. We talked about this with my brother last week, Billy Smith. Who, of course, was a great goaltender in the early 80s with the New York Islanders. There are some goalies that I don't want to say skate through the regular season, but they win when they need to in the regular season. They may have high GAAs, may not win Vezinas or anything, but when the lights shine the brightest, when you hit April and into May and June, that's when these guys step up, and that's what Billy Smith did. Billy Smith had good regular season stats. Not great. I don't think he's ever won a Vezina, but... The guy won four rings because he played his best when he needed to play his best. So
exactly.
A lot of guys are like that. So anyway, we'll take a break here on The Extra Point. When we come back, TJ McAloon will be with us to preview the Stanley Cup final, Stanley Cup playoffs, finals in June. Will the king be there? The Burger King, not Jerry Lawler. More Extra Point after this.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placetobenation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, The Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including The Main Event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net, Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather, Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN podcast network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber lover.
Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brain Buster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back, Place to the Nation, to episode 37 of the Extra Points. I am Scott Costello, of course, with the doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. We got a lot of stuff up today, of course, including the continuing Greatest Wrestling Themes Tournament. Keep voting. First round will be up for a couple more days.
I've been voting.
You've been voting? Yes, you have. Any? Do you have any favorites? Oh, I know what. So I know what song you want, of course.
Exactly.
You want
breaking, why even bother?
The Breaking Glass, but that'll probably make it to the. I'm sure that'll probably make it to the Final Four. We got a Real American, Evolution, Taker. There's a lot of favorites up there. So keep voting. PlaceToBeNation.com. Stanley Cup playoffs begin this Wednesday in earnest, or is it Tuesday? I believe it's Tuesday actually. And we're gonna have your breakdown now with our NHL analyst. He is a great contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. He's the co-host of TJ and Todd's Tailgate, which you can hear in the fall. Of course, their first episode will probably be sometime in August as they prepare for the next college football season. And he is also our maestro of the frozen pond. He is out near the Shark Tank. Sounds like he's at the winter meetings. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. TJ McAloon. So did you throw any rotten tomatoes at Gary Bettman during his State of My Job Sucks speech?
Only... the loser tomatoes, because only one of them got to him, unlike the normal two-point tomatoes, where both of which hit him in the face. The loser one tomato got his kneecap, so it was a little annoying, but it still got the job done.
All right. TJ, always a pleasure to have you on. Before we dive into the breakdown, observations of this season. I thought we had a good All-Star weekend. We had some teams kind of step up. Some teams took a backseat. We'll get into teams that didn't make the playoffs. But just overall observations of this past NHL regular season.
It was a very good season. You saw the birth of parity in this league for the first time in a while. You know, you just touched on teams not making the playoffs, so I'll save that for there. But the ones that came out of nowhere, your Winnipegs, your Calgary, the Islanders to a lesser extent. You know, we saw the Islanders 2 years ago. Almost take the Penguins down the first round, but they took a step back the year before, or the next year, and this year, they looked like they could have won the Metropolitan Division if not for a late season, not really a collapse, but taking the step back, but A spoon, yeah, we'll call it there. But it's great to see the young talent like Johnny Grudeau out in Calgary, the resurrection of Vancouver from taking a step back last year. Tavares, I hope he does very well. Ovechkin is back in the spotlight with another 50-goal season in a year where scoring was completely down. So overall, I would say good year, just with a little hesitation on Jamie Benn being the Leafs leading scorer, being sub 90 points. That's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this decade, we have two of the three Stanley Cup champions in this decade did not make the playoffs. Of course, my beloved Boston Bruins really didn't have the greatest of seasons. Had a lot of injury issues and some other personnel issues that may cost Claude Julien his job. I'm not sure. And probably the more shocking, but equally as shocking, the defending world champion, Los Angeles Kings, not here. That surprise you?
Two ways, yes and no. Yes, it shocked me because you saw the Kings start to come on late in the season like they always do, and the hockey public thought they were going to sneak in as a four seed, I guess, because in the new playoff way, they're not really wouldn't be an eight seed, but as the four seed in their playoff and just go on another insane run where Jonathan Quick throws a goals against average of sub two and he carries that team on his back to the cup. No, I wasn't surprised because if they would have gotten in, this would have been their fourth playoff run where they probably would have gone deep and they would have tacked on another extra season's worth of games on them. So they were bound to run out of gas at some time. So it's going to be good for them to get some time off, get rested, have a break, and have them come out next year, hopefully guns a-blazing instead of stumbling out of the box.
Mm. And as mentioned, the Bruins also did not make the playoffs. The Chicago Blackhawks, however, did, and we'll get to their series. We'll do the West first. We'll switch things up. Let's start out West, and let's talk about the team that finished with, I guess it was the third most points in the league, but tied for the most in the conference, and that is the Ducks of Anaheim, who finished with 109 points, taking on a return team. Their first, I believe this is, correct me if I'm wrong, TJ, their first playoff visit since their reincarnation, and that is the Winnipeg Jets, who are in the playoffs for the first time since returning to the league. Ducks swept them in three straight in the regular season. Does Winnipeg have a shot here?
It's going to be interesting. And first, it's Winnipeg's first Stanley Cup playoff appearance since 1996 as a city. Mm-hmm. First since their inclusion in 2007, I believe it was, when they were Atlanta Thrashers.
Right.
Okay. So, and this franchise, as the Atlanta Thrashers, hasn't won a playoff game whatsoever. So hopefully they'll at least get one or two wins. Just because Winnipeg, they were a team that got ripped away from them and moved to Phoenix for whatever God knows reason. And it's good to have them back. I hope game three, the first person to drop the puck is Timu, just to get the crowd even more fired up for that game, which it already is going to be a fever pitch. I can't wait to see the crowd shots of them standing outside of their arena and having the big screen up. I hope they do that, much like Toronto did a couple years back and Pittsburgh used to do as well. But this series as a whole is going to be all on goal play. And it's going to be a recurring theme of these predictions is that can John Gibson be – It was his rookie year, to which early in the year he was a starter game one in Pittsburgh. Then he got sent back down to the minors, which was very interesting. And now he's back up, and I believe he's starting a net in game one. And how well can he do in his second playoff run? Because he got a little taste of it last year. Mm-hmm. Scoring wise, Anaheim should have enough, and they should easily take care of this series in five, maybe six games if Winnipeg can sneak out, two at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on now to the Battle of Western Canada, and that is, not only TJ in this postseason, we have not one but two series involving both Canadian teams. When the last time that ever happened? Very, very rare there, indeed. The Battle of Western Canada, as the Calgary Flames, as you mentioned, are in, and they will take on the Vancouver Canucks. They split their series 2-2. Who do you like here?
And I remember this when we did the season preview back in October. You asked for a Stanley Cup champion, or it was final and champion. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to throw out the Vancouver Canucks because I did like Willie going from the Texas Stars up there. And here they are in the playoffs right now, looking really good. So I'm going to stick with my Cup final prediction and go with Vancouver and a resurrected Ryan Miller.
Hmm. That's right. That's right. Ryan Miller got lost in the shuffle and kind of lost his groove in Buffalo and now rejuvenated. So,
do you think that some of these teams are happy the Kings didn't make it? Because it's just, I say every year, I'm like, they get in and all of a sudden they get hot and that's it.
Go ahead.
The Chicago Blackhawks are probably extremely happy. Same with St. Louis. And I can assure you that Anaheim as well is very happy that they didn't have them in the first round and they can get, you know, an easier matchup in Winnipeg.
Right. Another matchup, you mentioned the St. Louis Blues, 109 points. They will take on the Minnesota Wild in the first round. These two also split their four games 2-2. St. Louis actually won one of their two games in a shootout. A lot of goals scored in these four games. In fact, Minnesota dropped six on the Blues in late March.
Man, I really hope St. Louis wins this series. I'll say St. Louis in seven, but it's going to be so interesting to see how Jake Allen handles these playoffs. I mean, he's a career minor leaguer who's finally getting his shot because Brian Elliott, you know, for whatever reason, didn't get the job done. Ryan Miller last year couldn't stay after his little Rena player playoff push ended in flames against Chicago. So I hope St. Louis, because this is a franchise that's never won a Stanley Cup. I mean, they're going on, I believe, 46 years with no cup, no championship parade, nothing for this franchise with a really great fans and a great history with, you know, your Brett Hulls, your Gretzky for a little bit when he came over for that one postseason run, your Al McGinnisses. So I hope they can pull out this series. Devin Dubnyk is playing really well for Minnesota. He basically carried him on his back into the playoffs, but scoring will be the key with, you know, I almost said Kevin Steen over in St. Louis. That's not who's there.
I can imagine him on skates. Holy crap.
No, he would be big buff. He would be Bufflin.
Yes.
But I mean, okay. It's Minnesota with Parise and Sutter and, I'm blanking on some of their other major scores. I mean, they just got Jordan Leopold as well from the deadline. So this will be one where, you know, you're going to enjoy it because it's going to remind you of the Philly-Pittsburgh series from a couple years back where the finals were 8-3 or 8-4.
Yeah. And the final matchup in the West is a team I like a lot, and that is the Nashville Predators, 104 points, taking on the aforementioned only team that has won a cup this decade that made the playoffs, and that is the Chicago Blackhawks. They won three of the four regular season meetings, including one game in overtime and the other in a shootout. Not one of the better Chicago teams, and I think which one? One of the two. Tays. Tays. I always want to call them twos. Tays or Kane. One of the two is hurt.
Wait, it's Patrick Kane broke his collarbone about 2 months ago, I think it was.
Okay.
He went down on a weird hit to where he lost his edge. And, I mean, it didn't help that the defender, I believe it was Edmonton, kind of gave him a shove. And, you know, he went shoulder first into the boards. Mm-hmm. He has been cleared to play. He will be suiting up, I would assume, on Wednesday, whenever game one is. It's going to be interesting to see, does he shy away from contact or does he, you know, regain the mental state that he had before his injury, where he was a Patrick Kane, you know, that was the mayor of Dangle City, to use a cliche.
Right.
But I like Nashville in six games for this one, just because they were the best team until like a 7 or 8 game losing streak to close the season. So Pekka Rinne is one of the best goalies in the West. They have a great offensive tandem in James Neal. Mike Ribeiro has resurrected his career after being a cast off from Phoenix last year. I believe they even have the old man, Olli Jokinen, who can provide some center depth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're liking for the next round. Now, they reseed, so we can't even really say. We'll just say that your four picks. You like the Ducks, the Canucks, the Blues, and the Preds. So you like that. So you like Chicago out in the first round.
You know, Corey Crawford's never jumped off to me as a goalie that you would trust, not trust, but one that would be able to carry a team deep into the playoffs. Yes, I know they won the cup with Crawford and Nett when they took down Boston a couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's more so Taze. It's more so Sharp. It's Brandon Saad, Hossa, Kane. It's that firepower they have. But Pekka Rinne is just a really good goalie that I would predict will come through in these playoffs and be a household name by the end of it.
Okay, so let's move on to the East, and we'll begin with a series that's very fascinating. as everyone knows, I love rooting against the Montreal Canadiens because they're the scourge of my hockey existence. And they're taking on a team that they may not be crazy about having to play, and that is the Ottawa Senators, who, for those that may not know this, in Ottawa's last – this is the reason the Bruins didn't make the playoffs. In their last 31 games, Ottawa went 23-4-4. Scorching hot going into these playoffs, and they beat Montreal 3 out of 4 games and scored a lot of goals against them. After losing 4-1 on December 20th, they dropped 13 goals on the Canadiens in the other 3 matchups. Montreal clearly, talent-wise, the better team. Ottawa's the hotter team. Can the Sens win the series?
Yes, they can. I mean, their Hamburglar nickname for their goalie. They've been just like Minnesota and Dubank, just insanely hot. I remember watching the Pens play them last week. The Pens went up 3-0, looked like they were done, and they just kept chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. And next thing you know, they're winning in overtime. And this Ottawa-Montreal series is very reminiscent of 2013, where Ottawa came in as a 7 seed, didn't really think anything of it. Montreal was the 2, and then Ottawa boat raced them in 5 games. So it's very, very – and Montreal just lost their top scorer. I'm not sure for the series or for what, whenever he took a nasty fall, I believe against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So give me Ottawa in 5.
Oh,
wow.
That's awesome. I love that.
They're so
go ahead, TJ.
It's like a Zoolander. I mean, they're so hot right now. They're so hot. that damn Hansel. He's so hot right now. What he is.
All right. Next matchup: a pair of high scoring teams that could light the lamp often, and that is the Tampa Bay Lightning, who finished with 108 points against the Detroit, where they kind of the retooled Detroit Red Wings with 100 points. Tampa beat them 3 out of 4 during the regular season, scored a lot of points against them, except the last game in which Detroit won 4-0. Who do you like here?
It's weird. Detroit is like, you know Zetterberg, you know Datsyuk, but after that, who in the hell are these guys? It's like, you look at the stat sheet, there's Applegator, okay, but there's no Franzen, there's no, I'm blanking, there's no, I'm thinking of Bacardi, that's back in 1990s.
They could use him now, though. No.
Six or even Lindstrom. But still, it's a bunch of no. Yeah, I'm sure that Swede probably could come out and play, about 20 minutes. Hell, the Penguins could use him, only playing 5 defensemen the last couple of games.
Yeah.
But it's a team where they're a bunch of, I mean, I'm going to say no names, but they're good enough to win 100, get 100 points at the end of the year. But Tampa, just like Pekka Rinne out in Nashville, Ben Bishop is a guy that has been known for a while as a very good goalie, but hasn't taken it to the next level to where he's a great goalie and one that you look at him and go, holy bleep, how are we going to beat him in this series? If he gets hot, which he should against this Detroit team that doesn't really have that much scoring, he can carry them while Stamkos and Ryan McDonagh, they can just lead this Tampa Bay team over Detroit easily. I'd say probably 5, not 6 games for Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up, we have the team you mentioned, the aforementioned New York Islanders, who were pretty hot for most of the season, slumped late, taking on a rejuvenated Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. Islanders won 2 games in overtime, and then Washington won 1 game in regulation and 1 game in a shootout, so technically 2-0-2, I suppose. Can the Islanders kind of regain some of that mojo they had in December, January, into early February and win the series?
I want to say they should, but it's weird. Halak has not looked like his dominant self that he did back in January, February. Last week he had this weird, weird goal with 2 seconds left that lost a game against Philadelphia.
Yes.
That could easily clinch a playoff spot. I'm sure he rebounded the next night against Pittsburgh and you look like the Halak of old whenever he just single-handedly carried Montreal to an Eastern Conference final in 2010. But I don't know what's wrong with him right now. He has not looked very well. John Tavares, he had a good showing when they played the Penguins back in 2012, but can he do it again against Braden Holtby, who's really good? And instead of, when they play Pittsburgh, when Fleury just folded and Vokoun shut him out for the final 2 games, mm-hmm. or the final 3 games, actually, in that series. So Washington, they will go far in this one. It's going to be a 7-game series. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
They're very evenly matched, but Ovechkin has looked like the Ovechkin of, you know, 2008, 9, and 10 when he was just scoring 50 goals like it was nothing. This year, goal scoring was down, you know, across the league, and Ovi still threw 50 goals in. So he will be the deciding factor in this series, and we're going to see Washington move on to the second round for the first time in maybe, geez, 5 years, maybe 6 years they haven't been to the second round.
Mm. No, I'll tell you when they got to the second round, 2012. Because
that's right,
the
when
Bruins,
they took down Boston.
Because they lost to the defending world champions. Trust me, memory and, like and an elephant.
And your Bruins fans reacted so nicely to Joe Ward.
I know.
After he scored that game-winning goal in overtime.
Yes.
With such class. Nothing horrible was said on Twitter or any social media about him.
Yeah. It happens. But
shocked.
Yeah. And finally, I save this the best for last. The team that eked its way into the postseason on the final day of the year, the 2009 Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins, taking on the team with the best record, about most points in the league, and the defending Eastern Conference champions, the New York Rangers, led by their stellar goaltender, who for some reason thinks he's already anointed king of mediocrity. I don't know. Rangers beat them three games with one game in a shootout won by the Penguins. I mean, the Rangers are coming in very hot, and your Pens kind of scratched and clawed the last two fingernails to the finish line. Can they beat the Rangers in the series?
Christ. That's all I can say about this series.
Any shot at all? One game?
No, I'll throw my Homer hat on and say Pens in one. They're going to win that first game and just fold up the rest of the series. They won't even need to play the next round. That's what it is. Pens in one. It's fine. Yeah, he's 6-1. It'll be over. No reason to go anymore. No, but, I mean, Fleury has been great this year. He's had 10 shutouts, which has been a career high, which in any other year would have been enough to carry them to a Metropolitan Division title. But this team just lacks efficient top six scoring. Crosby, you know, can do so much, but until he throws a pass over to Chris Kunitz and the puck just explodes off his stick and goes nowhere. It's gotten to the point to where they are so snake bitten on scoring that even on empty net, on delay penalty, when Kunitz takes a slap shot, he still rings it off the crossbar and can't even put it in. So that's how bad this scoring has gotten for them. And you can hear the frustration in my voice of what I'm expecting of a Rangers probably 5-game win, but hoping that Penn somehow come out and win this in six. So for prediction wise, I'll think of New York and not having any scoring outside of Rick Nash and Martin St. Louis, and hopefully St. Louis' age does finally comes into play and he realizes he's 500 years old and you know, they can shut him down. I'm hoping for a Penn in six, hoping for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sniffing an upset here.
Maybe. Perhaps.
I mean, it's when you have two of the five best players in the league on your team, plus a goalie who, you know, played very well and has, you know, a Stanley Cup ring on his resume with a game seven in Detroit, you know, that should be enough to carry you to at least a first round win.
Mm. Before we let you go, let's talk about the two quick thing about the offseason. The two big teams that did not make the postseason, that being, of course, the Boston Bruins and the Los Angeles Kings. What kind of changes do you expect in the offseason? I'll tell you right now, the Bruins are going to get gutted. There's a couple free agents they're going to let go. I don't know if Claude Julien's going to get the axe. I would say 60-40 he will, but I'm not sure. But your thoughts on them and on the Kings?
Your Bruins are weird in that they would have did the same thing if they didn't have that epic comeback against Toronto in 2012. You know, you guys were about like 6 minutes away from completely blowing up your roster, but then they come back, and then Tuukka Rask just goes on cheat mode and doesn't allow any goals against the Penguins for four games, and it makes me put my head through a wall. But and then they win the cup, or no, then they lose the, you know, the cup finals against Chicago, and it's, oh, great season, everybody can come back, let's re-sign Marchand for a $600 million deal, even though I want to feed him into a wood chipper like in Fargo.
You know what, some Bruins fans want to too, so, because he, you know, there were times he brings, you know, that extra penalty you really don't need. Lucic, so I feel like sometimes has struggled with the puck. I watched one live game this year against Ottawa, which they ironically won, And it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle. What do you think of the Kings?
But it's also, before we touch on the Kings, weird that the only way that the Penguins can eliminate the Bruins from the playoffs is by playing a game against Buffalo. It's the only way they can beat Tuukka Rask in the playoffs.
I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, it's the only way we can take Tuukka Rask out of the playoffs is by winning a game against the worst team in the league and only winning 2-0 on goals by our third line center. So,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, he's going to a shootout. Oh, damn.
Yeah, exactly. I wish that I'm very glad the Penguins made it, don't get me wrong, but
right, of course.
It'd been better if they just let Florida go in over Boston or Pittsburgh and just let Jagr and Ekblad and Luongo just play in the playoffs. Let them play. I'd rather see Florida in the playoffs than the Penguins or Bruins right now.
Well, they're a team on the upswing.
The
Kings.
Yes.
I don't think they need it or anything.
No, they just rest. That's all they need. I mean, maybe they lose Jeff Carter and his $7 million cap hit for the next 25 years because Philadelphia's smart handle money. Maybe they still have Gavrik. They still have Carr. They still have Dustin Brown. Unless Pittsburgh makes them a godfather offer with Malkin or whatever, that's the only way that this team can stop. I mean, it's still a very, very team. They got off to a slow start and couldn't rebound.
All right. Well, TJ, thank you. Go back to the Gary Bettman, we'll have a job speech.
Thank you.
And we'll
it is annoying. While I'm here in San Jose, I work with great center, but I'm in downtown San Jose, and I overlook the center week after WrestleMania. So, or 2 weeks after.
That's right.
So I look at the center and go, damn it. I just, and
what do you think of Mania? What do you think of Mania?
Good. Very good. Very, very, very good. The Seth win was a nice pop at the end. Mm-hmm. Keep him strong as the challenger. It's nice to Dusty book him.
Right.
You know, what happened if he wins? Just like with Dusty. You know, it's him and Blair chasing whoever was the champ because people can get it behind him. That's a good show all around.
Okay.
Except for the NWO missing Abe. You know, what the hell, man? Yep. A year having to fight the NWO and everybody. At least bring Luger and Nash and come out to the Wolfpack theme. Let Cody know. Let that come in.
One more for a college football note. This running backs of the 90 is the news. That is Lawrence Phillips, stud tailback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, is in the news again. No, not because he'll be your RB3 on your fantasy team. He is being investigated for murdering his cellmate in prison.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, his cellmate was only serving 82 years to life in prison. So maybe shorten the inevitable. I don't know. But anyway, what a class guy. Stand-up guy there for you, Lawrence Phillips.
Barry Switzer knows how to recruit him.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Just like Marcus Dupree and everybody after that. So TJ McAloon, everybody. We'll have you back on about a month or so. We'll talk more as the playoffs progress, and we'll get into spring camp starts in a few months, Mr. McAloon.
Penn's first cap in the second round is best for business. Just remember, everything's always...
Hey, I agree.
Everything's always circle back to what's best for business.
That's right. Always good for the authority. Right. TJ, thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
All right, guys.
Talk soon.
Have a good one.
TJ McAloon, everybody, in San Jose near the Shark Tank. Dr. G, I was thinking of calling my brother and having him come on, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I feel like hearing the whole
go on and on about the Rangers, but you know what? They got to win something. So
let me see if he's on right now. Maybe I can call him cold. No, he's on. He's away. Let me see. Let me text him and see if he'll pop on, because I'm not sure he wants to bloviate about the Masters. So so there's TJ McAloon, everybody, and stay here to Place Me Nation's Extra Point, where we can discuss the Stanley Cup playoffs as they progress, because Dr. G, rarely do you and I not have dogs in the fight, but guess what? We don't have a dog in the fight. Let me ask you about the Devils. Were you not surprised? Surprised? Or I mean,
I wasn't.
The rebuilding continues. Who's the head coach? I mean, I'm curious to see who their head coach is going to be. Obviously, Lamoriello had this, Kane, Big Show, Seth Rollins kind of committee to be head coach. Do you think they'll? Who do you think could be? You think Scott Stevens will? Well, who was it? Was Scott Stevens? Lamoriello, and who's the other one? Wasn't it was three guys, right?
Yeah, it was.
I can't think of the third guy. You think maybe Scott Stevens is a guy that could have the job?
I think Scott Stevens
solely?
might get the job, but it's weird because Lamoriello always knew where he stood with things, but I try to say, you know what, the guy's been successful for so many years that he's got, he's probably got some kind of plan, but I'm not surprised. I didn't expect them to really make the playoffs. And if they were going to make the playoffs, they were just going to eke in. But they got to get younger. And, you know, goaltending is the key thing. And Schneider was very inconsistent this year. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with things. And, you know, you got to understand, too, that the team financially isn't in great, great shape. It's tough to compete in that market. Now you got the Islanders starting to be good, and they're moving to Brooklyn, and then you have the Rangers, and, you know, they've always had a tough time in the Devils. I mean, Devils fans are diehards, but unfortunately there's not enough of them.
Yeah. So there you go. Stanley Cup playoffs begin in earnest this week. Anything else in the world of sports? I'm trying to wait and see if my brother's going to hop on.
Well, I mean, the Masters. I mean, I know you want
to. Yeah, well, he gets on, we'll talk about Jordan Spieth, 21 years old.
Seems like a really good kid, way beyond his years.
Yes, and I just want to look at the rest of the leaderboard. I know Tiger didn't really make a run late. I guess it's a new era, new rivalry. You know, just different guys. I think different names are nice now. I think everybody was so used to, Tiger at the top all the time. And, I think knowing that his time is probably up, nice to see different names. Dominating the leaderboard.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I'm not a big golf fan, but, obviously Tiger was the name. You'd always be flipping through the stations and you saw Tiger on, you'd stop and watch, even if you weren't a big golf fan. But, you just got to hope that this new young generation and Jordan Spieth, being the champion now, maybe he gains a following and really close-knit with his family and close with his sister. I think his sister is of special needs and just a really close, tight-knit. You have to love what you see. And, after all the scandal that went on with Tiger some 5 years ago, it's nice to see, a good guy in the sport.
My brother just texted me. He is severely under the weather. He's got.
Yes, that's right. I did see that on Facebook.
Yeah, he's got Montezuma's revenge. So he just told me right now that he thinks the Rangers are going to get swept by Pittsburgh in the first round. That's what he told me. So,
yeah, he ain't that sick.
So Jordan Spieth won with at 18 under par. It was the Masters was obviously a fun course to play this weekend. A lot of people, five guys were double digit under par. Phil Mickelson made a run late to finish four off, along with Justin Rose. Rory McIlroy finished 12 under. Matsuyama 11 under. The defending champion, let me find him, Mr.
What they need to do for golf? They need to have, entrance themes when they come out onto the green. Some pyro. I think it would make it more interesting.
What do you think if you have what if a guy's about to go for a putt and then somebody the other guy runs in and drills him in the ribs with his putter
Yeah, well, you have the caddies are like the managers. You have them start trying to cheat. I might make it interesting. I may decide to watch. I mean, you know, the other night we were watching a little bit on NBC. Now it seems like boxing's starting to go that way. At the Barclays the other night, you started seeing
Yeah.
Almost kind of like wrestling, the way they were coming in, getting introduced to the ring. So some people taking some of Vince's ideas.
Yeah. The defending champion, by the way, Bubba Watson, finished tied for 38th. He didn't hit under par the whole weekend, finished at 289, one over. So a struggle this weekend for the defending champion. So Jordan Spieth, your winner in the 2015 Masters, 64, 66, and then a pair of 70s to finish 18 under par. For the tournament. Phil Mickelson finished second, tied with Justin Rose for second place. So that'll just about wrap up this edition of the Extra Point. Dr. G, pleasure as always.
Yes.
And obviously, we're going to get – I think the next time we're
on – the is all yours, as usual.
We're going to – yeah. Well, your guy's in the Hall of Fame. So I'm surprised. You know, I went on WWEShop.com right after WrestleMania weekend, and then no one had a Larry Land T-shirt.
Well, that's blasphemy, right?
That's because everybody that works on Shop.com is 9 years old. That's why. So when we come back, our next show, we will talk about the NHL playoffs. We'll talk more Major League Baseball. Not sure who we'll have on. We'll surprise you. Also, you know, I keep forgetting, Dr. G, you know what's coming up May 2nd, Fight of the Century. You'd mentioned boxing a little bit earlier. Floyd Money Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao.
Can Pacquiao just knock the shit out of him?
Yeah, I'd like to see Pacquiao. I want Pacquiao to win, too. I think Floyd needs to be humbled. Oh, I will say this. If Mayweather wins, I think he retires. I think he wants to pull the Jack Dempsey and retire. Was it Rocky Marciano? No, I don't remember.
Marciano.
Retire undefeated as world champion. So we'll see what happens. We will talk to you in a couple weeks. I know Joel Barnhart will be back on soon. Well, our next episode will definitely have Grant Hughes from BleacherReport.com. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs because they'll probably be going on at that moment. And we'll talk a little bit about it with him. Joel Barnhart will be back soon. We'll get into the first month of the Major League Baseball season. So, TJ McLoone, for the doctor, I am Scott. Hit the extra point. Hit the last putt. Maybe you'll get bulwarked in the throat like Rick Rude did the Ultimate Warrior with a 9-iron. Have a good 2 weeks.
See ya. It's easy.